Okay, good evening. Nice to see everyone. Truma discusses the construction of the Mishkan, the place where the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu resided, a place where a Jew could have a connection to the Ribono Shel Olam, and discusses all the Kelim, all the different holy, holy vessels that are in the Mishkan. And when it discusses the Aron, the Torah commands, when they used to transport the Aron, you'd have poles on the side, and those poles had to remain permanently in place. Source number one. Ve'heveite tabadim batabot, you shall bring the poles into the rings, al salot aron, on the sides of the aron, laseite ta'aron bahem, to carry, to transport the aron. This is during the Mishkan. It's portable. Tetvav, betabot aron yu abadim, in the rings of the aron shall remain the poles, lo yasubru mimenu, do not remove them. And this is unique to the aron. The other utensils had poles, but they didn't have to be permanently inserted. When it comes to the Aron, when it comes to the Torah, the poles which transported permanently in place. And the question is why? So Shimshon Raphael Hirsch of Samson Raphael Hirsch, the great Rav of Germany of the 1800s, unbelievable author, all beautiful, beautiful writings and works. He says in Source 2, what's the symbolism behind this, that the poles have to remain permanently in place? Va'mitzvah. Shela olam lo yasu rabadim min aron kava mirosh l'choladoros et dvara emes. Right from the onset, right from the beginning, we don't remove the poles to establish for all generations this truthful principle, which is what? Shatorah hazot v'tudasa, the Torah and everything it stands for and all the principles, all the values, ainan tekuas b'adamah. Torah is not confined to one place. Shale amdu b'shatam hakodesh v'mikdash. The Torah was not confined to the Mishkan. The Torah was not confined to later on the Beis HaMikdash, or to any holy place for that matter. Torah doesn't just remain in a spiritual ritual place, in a sacred place, in a holy place. Absolutely not. Nochosam matmidi shel abadam. This was proven by the constant presence of the poles. Me'ida al-kach testified on this third line of two. She'Torah Hashem ainu kshura. It is not bound, v'zekuka l'shum makum yuchad. Torah is never just defined, tied up, connected to one place. Torah is completely and always should be transported. The poles were there to symbolize, we bring Torah everywhere. We don't just keep it here in the Beis Medrash, in a shul, in a shir, in a holy safe spot. No, Torah goes everywhere. It needs to be learned everywhere. It needs to be processed everywhere. It needs to be presented everywhere. It needs to impact us everywhere. The Torah and the values goes with every single place that we are. And that's the beautiful message, says Rav Hirsch. That's why the poles permanently in place, exclusively by the Aron. We go to source 3. A famous, very famous author, the Chachmas Adam, also the author of the Chai Adam, a well-known Rav, halachic work. And he writes in his Hakdama to the Chachmas Adam, says very interesting, it's a pretty lengthy Hakdama. And he says, I know, people are probably whispering about me. He was a businessman, he was a merchant, a successful businessman. And he writes, people are probably murmuring, what's this guy writing a safe for? Who is he? He's involved in business, he's traveling, I'm going to read his sefer. And by the way, the Chachmas Adam Chai Adam is extremely popular till this day. An extremely valuable and important halachic work. So he writes, people are murmuring, this guy goes to the sea, he's traveling, he's going to be the author of such a profound work. But he writes, to dispel those notions, Source 3. Keno mer ani latzmi, I say by myself, Hagam shenasati lemerchakim vaiti socher. When I traveled far and I was involved in business, av chachmati amdali. My wisdom remained with me. Ki b'nesiati l'derech daiti aleha. Whenever I traveled, what happened? My mind, my thoughts were on Torah. Ubi yeshivati b'chanus daiti aleha. When I was sitting in the store, engaged in commerce, my thoughts were on Torah. V'sei sali shafilu b'shas masa matam. And even during exact commerce, backwards and forwards, Pamim arbe hayadai tialeh behiru perish okashia. My mind was on it, thinking of explanations, thinking of questions. Yes, I was a very busy businessman and I traveled, but my mind was constantly occupied with Torah. Very powerful, especially considering who this man was. Ubeprat b'shisha mitzvos asa shekatavti b'chayadam. and specifically with the six constant mitzvos that are written in my other work. Second paragraph. Ve'yidu alai haschorim. They could testify about me, my other merchants, my colleagues. She'afilu be'et nesiati, be'leifsug, lepsug, even when I traveled, lo manati likachi mi gemara mikra mishnah. I didn't hold back from carrying my gemara, my chumash, my mishnah, afilu b'shasi, I read, even during the trade fair, kimach lamadati b'choyom daf v'chetzi gemara. I learned a daf and a half during the fair, at the height of my business. Chut mishnayos, not including, of course, my mishnayos. And he writes, v'chai roshi, she'ein ani kotev zot litgot. He says, I'm not writing this to glorify myself. I'm not trying to sound proud. I'm not trying to make myself seem so incredible. Ulit fa'er, and to be this glorified person. Kimani machai, what am I, he says. Third line. Vim Rabbi Yochanan Mitzake Amar, Ilamadis the Torah harbe, it says in Avos, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tachzi tova la'atzmacha, don't credit yourself. Kilakachron sarta, that's why you were created. V'chol shekein, all the more so, im yilmod ma'at demat, especially if I just learned the minimal amount that you're called echad mechuyah b'zeh, that everybody's obligated to learn. Do we glorify ourselves if we wear tefillin every day? I was just doing my obligation. And that's what it has to do. Even when we're traveling on the road, no matter where we are, again, the poles and the aron will remain permanent. So we have, no matter what we find ourselves in, and we're very, very busy, whatever business takes us, wherever life takes us, we always take the Torah with us. The poles are always there. It's always transported. It's always in our heart and in our souls. I'm only writing this to inform everyone. They make a great mistake when people are on the road. They make the mistake, I'm exempt, I'm too busy, I'm too tied up, I can't learn, too exhausting. And specifically, whenever there's the trade fair, what do my colleagues say? It's giving a stark musser. I can't do it. It's too much going on. I can't spare the time. Chalila lozehu derech haTorah. That's not the way of the Torah. Kemamar of Tarfon v'yeta ben charim libater mimena. So Rav Tarfon says we're never exempt. So the Chachma Sadam writes so beautifully, a real sharp line to all his business colleagues. And obviously it means a lot more when he himself was engaged in all the commerce and providing for his family. Torah goes everywhere. No matter where you find yourself in life, no matter what situation, no matter the circumstance, we always have to try our best to carve out time for Talmud Torah. To make Torah a priority, to learn it, and to allow it to influence and impact everything that we're doing. Because the poles of the Aron always remain permanently in place. I want to shift now to discuss the power of Torah. This is explaining we have to bring with us. But why? Why necessarily? And the answer is very simple. The koach haTorah, the power of Torah, is so deep, so profound, that we can't live without it. Says source number 4, discussing again the Aron, V'sipito to zahav tahor, mibayit umibichutz titzapenu. You have to make sure to make the Aron of pure gold inside and out. V'asit alav zer zahav saviv, and a crown surrounding it. And the Gemara in Yuma explains source number 5. We learn from the fact that the Aron has to be inside and out gold, that a Talmud Chacham has to follow suit. A Talmud Chacham, which represents Torah and everything it stands for, has to be inside and out as well. What does Rava say? What do we learn from this? Any Talmud Chacham that is insides are not like his outsides. Not genuine is not a Talmud Chacham. So now this takes us to a well-known story. Maybe these guys are learning it this year in Brachos, Source 6. The story of Rabbi Yoshua, Rabban Gamliel. Just give a little backtrack. This story takes place post Bayis Sheni, and this is a time where Klal Yisrael is in great, great ruins. Over 1 million Jews have been massacred at the hand of the Romans, people sold to slavery, the morale at an all-time low. Terrible situation for Klal Yisrael. Rav Yochanan Mitzakai pleaded with Vespasian, Tainli Yavne v'Chachmeha, to give us the city of Yavne and the sages, and for his heroic thought and his foresight is a reason we're sitting in this room today. He knew the temple was going down, but he said, spare the Chachamim, spare Yavne, and that's where the Sanhedrin relocated to. But a time where the nation is just tremendous yesh, tremendous despair. They lost the base of Migdash after hundreds of years. They feel Hashem's presence hidden from them. Jews all over the place. And all they have is now Yavne and the Sanhedrin, keeping them alive. Rabbi Gamliel is the Nasi. And his goal was to bring the morale up, but also to ensure the authority of the Sanhedrin was strong. He didn't want any division. He didn't want any divisiveness, because he wanted the nation to rebuild and not to have too many different opinions. So he was very strong, he was L'shem Shemayim, but if he thought there was an opposing position, he was ruthless. Because at this point, he needed to ensure the continuity and the preservation of Klal Yisrael. So the story goes that a certain student asked Rabbi Yeshua, is Ma'ariv Rashus or Chova? Obligatory or optional? Rabbi Yeshua responds, it's Rashus, it's optional. Then the student goes and approaches Rabbi Gamliel, asks the same question, classic, we always love to go shopping. Is Ma'ariv Rashus or Chova? Rabbi Gamliel says, it's a Chova. Student wisely says, but I heard Rabbi Yeshua told me it's a Rashus. Rabbi Gamliel says, wait a second. Let's get everybody together, come to the Beis Medrash, ask your question again. The student gets up in front of everybody once all the Talmidim have assembled and says, Marva Rashus or Chova? Rabbi Gamliel pipes up and says, Chova, obligation, obligatory. And is there anybody in the crowd that disagrees with me? Rabbi Yeshua, a little probably very nervous, says, nope, nobody disagrees. Nobody, no, even though he did, in private conversation, nobody disagrees. Rabbi Gamliel was very tough, didn't let him off the hook. Says, it was stated in your name, Yehoshua, called Yehoshua, that you disagree with me. Testify. Stand up. Prove yourself. Left with no option, Rabbi Yeshua had to explain that he had a dissenting opinion. But Rabbi Gamliel made him stand up there and continued lecturing. And the people were very upset. They thought that the treatment was too harsh, too uncomfortable for Rabbi Yeshua, and they start murmuring, like any good revolution. What's going on here? He's torturing him, he's oppressing him, he's making him stand up, won't let him sit. The rule was, the Nasi, you couldn't, once you stood up, you couldn't sit without the permission of the Nasi. So people say, what's going on here? And this isn't the first time he's did this. They prior had a dispute about the date of Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yeshua's date of Yom Kippur was a day later than Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel made Rabbi Yeshua come on that date that Rabbi Yeshua thought was Yom Kippur and publicly violate it. Come with money, his walking stick. And again, his intentions were pure, because he couldn't have people celebrating two Yom Kippurs, observing two Yom Kippurs. But he was very harsh in his manner. So the people were fed up, and they got rid of him. It's a fascinating story. He's removed as Nasi. This was the Gadol Dor. People said enough. And they go through a few candidates, and they end up with Elazar ben Azariah. He was only 18. Hashem made a miracle, and he had a great white beard. And that's why it says, Anayki ben Shivim Shana in the Haggadah, Rav Elazar ben Azariah. I'm like 70 years old. He was really 18. But Hashem made a beard so that he would gain the respect and command of the audience. So now, Rabbi Gamliel is removed. He's no longer the Nasi. And we have a new sheriff in town. Brings us to source 6. Tana. Osa hayom silkuha l'shomer petach. They removed the guard that used to be during the regime of Rabbi Gamliel. V'nan alem reshus l'tamid l'mikanes. They let all the students enter. Why? What used to be? Shaya Rabban Gamliel Machriz Va'omer. Rabban Gamliel, when he was Nasi, he used to announce, Kol Talmud She'en Tochu Kibaro, any student that's not inside and out, not genuine, Lo Yikanes L'Beis HaMedrash. Can't come in. Sorry. That used to be the policy. If you weren't inside and out, you couldn't enter. But now, this guard is removed. Everybody, the floodgates open. Hahu Yoma Itosu Kamu Safsale. Many benches were added. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Pligi Ba Abba Yosef Ben Dostai V'Rabbanan. There's a machlokas between them about how many benches were added. Chanamar Itosu Arba Me'o Safsalei, V'Chanamar Sheva Me'o Safsalei. One says 400 benches, one says 700. Just to illustrate the tremendous rush of the amount of students that now gain entrance inside the Beis Medrash. Have a Kachal Shadaiti Dur Magamliel. Ron Gamliel is very disheartened. Amari says, Dil mechasa sholem menati Torah Yisrael. Perhaps I prevented Torah from Klal Yisrael. He sees, with his policy, his strict policy, admissions policy, he limited many students. And now when he's gone, one opinion, 700 benches were added. And he's really upset. And he's really depressed. And the story is fascinating for another time. But the great Chidushi Arim, Source 7, asks, very simple question. V'tmiya, b'machal shadaite. Why is he upset? Manitchadish lo l'Rav Gamliel Ata. What's new? Halo yadam izesh yesh talmidim shirotim likanes. He knew these students wanted to enter. He saw the applications. He did the interviews. He went through the whole process. And that's why he instituted a guard. He was strong with his policy. He knew what he was doing. They all wanted to come originally. But he said no. He only wanted the elite. The sincere, genuine, pious students. That's all he wanted. He was fine. He thought it sufficed to have a small group. That was his policy. He knew these people wanted to enter. He just didn't let them come. Why is he upset? Why does the opinion change? Why all of a sudden does he regret his original policy? He clearly had his reasons. He thought it out. He wanted a strong elite group. So why is he regretful now? Says the Chidush Arim, because the power of Torah. Ela Sharara Magamliel, when he saw Kishabao Azlbeis Hamedrash Otama Talmidim Shaloa Yutochum Kabarim, he saw the students when they came, when they originally were not genuine, Nishtanu Ketef Utekef Latov Vinaasu Tochum Kabarim. He saw a change, he saw a transformation. They were originally bums. They originally didn't have it all together. They were lacking. But when they entered the Torah, they changed. They became genuine. They became sincere. They became refined. When he saw this, he got so upset at himself. He regretted. Why didn't he just give them a chance? Why didn't he give them opportunity? He missed the boat. You're right, he had a strict policy. But he saw people can change with Torah. He didn't realize the extent. And he regretted not letting them in, giving them an opportunity. Because once they were gained admissions, they changed, they elevated themselves. And that's his great deep regret. That's his chal shadaite. The korach of Torah. You could have somebody come in who's a lowlife, a bum, nothing. Torah transforms, it sweetens, it uplifts. It heightens a person's sensitivities, entire psyche. Torah changes people. Rabban Gamliel regretted, I didn't allow this transformation to take place. Chal Shadaite. As we see source number 8, a machlokus between Beis Sham and Beis Hillel. Who do you allow into the Beis Medrash? And these are, we always passing like Beis Hillel. Who Beis Hillel Omrim, this found the Maseches Avos Rav Nasan. L'kol Adam. Everybody gets to go into the Beis Medrash. Why? Shaharei Poshim hayu bahen b'Yisrael. There were sinners in Klal Yisrael. V'kevam sheit karvu lehen l'tam Torah. As soon as they drew close to Torah, yatsu mehen chasidim v'tzadikim. They emerge as pious and righteous people. Klal Yisrael has had sinners, wicked people. But when they came to Torah, they became beautiful tzadikim and chasidim. We should never, chas v'shalom, ever underestimate the power of Torah. The ability to transform people, to uplift people, and it's such a chizik for ourselves. That's why we put the Torah everywhere. It changes us, makes us better, holier, more spiritual, elevated, refined individuals. That's the koach haTorah. I want to conclude. I know, I'm sorry, I apologize. It's a little faded, but we'll try. This comes from the Likutei Halachos, which is written by the Chafetz Chaim. And his Hakdama. Baruch Hashem, Elokei Hashemayim, Elokei Haaretz, Asher Natan Lanu Torah HaKadosha. Thank you, Hashem, for giving us the Holy Torah, Hachamud Mikol Chemda, which is more desirable than anything else. Ukidichtiv Henechmazim Mizav Umipaz Rav. Torah is greater, more desirable than gold and precious gems. Umitukim Midvash, sweeter than honey. We say this in Shabbos davening, Pesukei Dezimra, from David HaMelech. Torah is sweeter than honey. So the Chafetz Chaim asks, why are we saying that Torah is sweeter than honey? So originally you might be thinking the answer is, honey is enjoyable, it's sweet, so Torah is sweet. True, that's more of a yes, that is an answer, but he takes it deeper. Why does it mean that Torah is sweeter than honey? Why not sweeter than any other dish or something else or sugar or anything or candy? Why is it? Why specifically do we say Torah is sweeter than honey? So I have over here the where the arrow is. Kiyadua. There's something special about the quality of honey, says the Chafetz Chaim. Halachically. Sheyesh b'teva advash koach hamatikus gadol. Honey has this tremendous power, this tremendous quality of sweetness. Let's say something falls into honey, a piece of bread or meat. You could try it on Rosh Hashanah Sukkos. And it remains there for a long amount of time. A piece of challah falls in, a little meat falls in. Through a lot of time, try it out. After a lot of time of lingering in the honey, remaining in the honey, it changes. It becomes honey. It transforms. Very fascinating. Halach, it's brought down by the Rush, Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos. Let's say you have a piece of treif that falls in. You can't do it yourself, obviously. But let's say a piece of treif falls in. Many poskim hold. It becomes mutter. It transforms to honey. Halach lemaisa. Honey has this transformative quality. And that says the Chafetz Chaim, that's what Torah means, that it means Torah is sweeter than honey. V'zehu shemar katuv. Shebo metikus ha-Torah hu gadol harbe yoter mitvash v'nofet sufim. Torah is even greater than honey. Why? Dahainu. Im adam shoket ala Torah. If a person is diligent in Torah, immerses himself in Torah, u'mitabek ba'karoi, and clings to it properly, afilu im teva nafsho haya mitchilu ra'ma'od. Even if originally he's very, very wicked, very, very bad, what happens? Like honey, koach haTorah mitarto mikadsho. The Torah purifies him. The Torah cleanses him. V'nafech liot ish acher mamish. Beautiful, and it makes him a new person. Just like you have a piece of treif meat that falls into honey and it stays in the honey, it becomes mutter, becomes sweet, becomes honey. So to Torah, even a higher level. You have somebody that's wicked, somebody that's really a no good, a nudnik, a bum. He puts himself into Torah, immerses into Torah and its values. He transforms. He changes, becomes a different entity, a different person. Unbelievable. Torah is like a mikvah. It cleanses the person, elevates the person. Sweeter than honey. That's the koach haTorah, the power of the Torah HaKadosha. So just to sum it up, as we saw with the Aron, why is it that the poles are permanently in place? To teach us the valuable lesson that Torah and everything it stands for has to always be transported. Never stays in just the makom mikdash, in a shul, in a base medrash. It goes with us everywhere. We need to learn it everywhere, as the Chachma Sadam explains, and we need to live it everywhere. Torah is always transported to every facet of our lives. And we saw the power of the Torah. The Rabbi Gamliel was very upset because he didn't give them a chance. He didn't give the students a chance. He had a policy. He stood by it. But the problem was, he didn't give them the chance to change, to improve. Because once the students went into the base medrash, you're right, originally they weren't great. But they became great. They became great and they transformed. And that's why Beis Hillel Paskins, everybody gains entrance to the base medrash. Many people from Klal Yisrael, originally wicked, were great chassidim and tzaddikim. Think of Reish Lakish, Rabbi Akiva, through a life of Torah transformed them to greatest Tanaim Rabbeim of all time. And lastly, the Chafetz Chaim. Torah is Metukim Midvash. Now in Shabbos Kodesh, when we read that line, it's a lot more meaningful. Metukim Midvash, talking about Torah, it's sweeter than honey. Why honey? Honey changes things. That is the property to transform. Torah as well, sweeter than honey, even on a higher level. Once we immerse ourselves, dive in, dip in, literally get involved in the Torah, we could be very stage at one point, transform ourselves, become true B'nai Torah. Yashikach.